Could I turn you to Isaiah chapter 55? Some words that are found in verse 4 of this chapter. I'd like to leave with you as a text and as a word to, I trust, your heart as we come to this morning service. And there the Lord writes, Isaiah 55, verse 4, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." We'll bow just for a moment in a word of prayer, please. Our eternal God and Father, we pray that thou wilt now prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. We ask, Lord, that thy word will come with blessing. We pray that our hearts will be opened and prepared, that the word of God will be an encouragement, a help, a challenge, as thou dost see the need of our hearts. O God, come now and minister unto us. We're glad, Lord, that we have a word from God for people. We thank thee for the Bible, for the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we ask that thou wilt help us then as we sit under the ministry of the word, to glean, to learn, to get a word from God. Surely that's what we need, Lord, this morning as we meet in thy house. Is there any word from the Lord? Was the question and the query of those of long ago. Oh God, give us a word from thyself this morning. Touch our hearts now as we continue before thee just for a few moments at the end of this service. May the Lord himself come, do us good. In Jesus' precious and worthy name, amen. Amen. At first reading, it might appear that these words in Isaiah 55, verse 4, are spoken in relation to David, the second king of Israel. Because if you glance at verse 3, you will discover that the Holy Ghost ends verse 3 by saying, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." And then verse 4 says, "Behold, I have given him." And the casual reader of these verses might assume then that the whole passage refers to David. But that's not the case. Because if you consider what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 13, you will see that these verses in Isaiah chapter 55 do not refer to David at all. Rather, they refer to one greater and mightier than David. In Acts chapter 13, we read in verse 34 that Paul, speaking to the crowds in Antioch, he quotes from Isaiah 55, verse 3. And he gives in his address there in Antioch the literal rendition, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Those words that end verse 3 in Isaiah 55. If you took the time to read Acts chapter 13, you would have discovered that Paul was there speaking not of David, but of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you glance, for example, at Acts 13 and the verse 33, you will see that Paul speaks concerning the deity of the one of whom he is speaking, because he speaks of God making mention of my son at the end of verse 33. "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And then in verse 28, of Acts 13, Paul addresses the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of him being put to death by the people at the hand of Pilate. In verse 35 of Acts chapter 13, he speaks of the dignity of the one of whom he's speaking, speaking of the fact that whenever Christ was buried, his body saw no corruption. And in verse 34 of Acts chapter 13, Paul speaks of the duration of Christ He speaks of his resurrection and eternal life. So that Paul, in speaking to the people of Antioch, he gives a summary of Isaiah 55, verses 3 and 4. And he underlines to us that in Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord was speaking not of David, but of Christ. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Who is the him? It's Christ. You see, the Old Testament saints knew of Christ in the same way that you and I know of Christ. You might recall how it is said concerning Enoch that he prophesied, it's recorded in Jude verse 14. He said, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And therefore Enoch, right at the beginning of time, knew of Christ. He knew not only of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, but he knew that Christ was coming again at the end of the world. And he was able to prophesy of such. Job likewise knew of Christ. He said in Job 19, verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And Abraham likewise knew of Christ, because the Lord Jesus said in John 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And David, likewise, as king, he had been pointed to Christ also. Because back in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and the verses 11 and 12, the Lord had informed David that the Messiah would be born from and in his family, from his loins, so that these Old Testament saints learned and knew and were taught of Christ. And it is because that the Lord Jesus would be born in the family of David that Isaiah 55 and the verse 3 concludes by speaking of the sure mercies of David. This was a sure promise that had been given to David, that Christ the Messiah would be born in his family, from his generations. And therefore, when we come to our text this morning, verse 4 of Isaiah 55, we must be in no doubt that these words that are spoken here are given in relation to the Savior. The Him is Christ. I have given Him. Christ has been given to the church. Christ has been given for the worst of men. Christ has been given to you and me as a gift. He is God's unspeakable gift. Christ is given in love to his people. I have given him. It's what is written in the remaining words of this verse that I'd like to draw your thoughts towards and your attention to just for a few moments as our meeting comes to its conclusion. And if you glance there at verse 4, you will see that Christ has been given, firstly, for a witness, or as a witness to the people. A witness is someone who can give a first-hand account of something that he has seen, something that he has heard, or something that he has experienced. And when the Bible tells us that Christ has been given to this world, he has been given to men and women as a witness, we can say that Christ has been given as a witness to the gospel. Because the coming of Christ tells us some things. The coming of Christ to this earth tells us, firstly, of the existence of a sovereign of God. The fact that Christ came to this earth is proof that there's a God in heaven. Christ has also been given as a witness to the extremity of sin. Because the fact that Christ must come to this earth, that the Father had to give the Son, then underlines to us how heinous and sin and serious sin must be. And Christ has been given as a witness to the experience of salvation. Because the fact that Christ has been given is a witness to men and women that sinners can be saved and sinners can be converted. I have given him for a witness to the people. Christ is firstly a truthful witness. A truthful witness. If someone tells you something or appears in the witness stand in a court of law, the most important quality that they must exhibit is honesty. Whenever I was growing up in a place just above Brasheen many years ago, we lived beside a very kind man. He was a farmer. His children were a bit older than we were, but we palled about, we ran about with them and were about his farm. Very kind man. He used to go every Sunday morning down to Brasheen, and he always brought us something from the shop. Every Sunday morning without fail. Of course, he wasn't a child of God, nor were we in our family at that time. But there was something about that man, and the whole country knew it. You couldn't believe a word he said. Not one. Because he was a perpetual liar. Didn't matter what he told you. He always took it with a pinch of salt. Because that's just the way he was. He couldn't help himself. He wasn't therefore a very good witness. But the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ being a truthful witness. John 18 verse 37 said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." And thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, what the Lord Jesus says in his word concerning himself, what the Lord Jesus says concerning mankind is true. We can believe it. Because the Bible and the gospel is not some fairy story. It is not a man-made story. It is not a figment of man's imagination. What the Bible says is fact. It's real. It's truth. Therefore, when we preach the word of God to people, we're preaching the truth to them. And that's important. Because if you're not yet a child of God, you need to know the truth of the Bible, because your eternity depends upon the truth of the Bible. You therefore need to know that what is preached in this pulpit and from this pulpit day by day is truth. And so Christ is a witness to the truth. He is a truthful witness. You and I live in days, of course, when the devil, as he has done right from the genesis of time, he is always putting a doubt over the word of God. He's a denier of God's word. The skeptics deny scripture and seek to defame the message of scripture. Richard Dawkins, that atheist, that arch atheist, in the book that he published, The God Delusion, says, "To be fair, much of the Bible is not systematically evil. It's just plain weird." As you would expect of a chaotically cobbled together truth of disjointed documents, composed, revised, translated, distorted, and improved by hundreds of anonymous authors. And that's the sort of lies that are being propagated across this province of ours and further afield in these days. And men and women believe these things. And what the duty, or one of the duties and responsibilities of the church, is to get the message across that the Bible is the truth of God's word. Do you believe it? Do you take what the Bible says to heart? Christ is a truthful witness. Christ is also a trusted witness. Because we read in Revelation chapter 1 and the verse 5 concerning the Lord Jesus that he is the faithful witness. You see, what the Bible says to you and me is faithful to us. We can depend upon it. What the Lord says to your soul is exactly what you needed to hear. Remember Joseph when he was in the prison and how he had to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker back in Genesis chapter 40. He said to the butler in verse 13 that he would be restored to his former position. He said also in verse 19 that the baker would be punished by death. What was Joseph? He was faithful to both of them. He told it as it was. Whether the message was pleasant or distressing, whether the message was accepted or rejected, Joseph was faithful to the souls of those two men. And so when the Lord speaks to you and me, we know that we can depend upon what he says. The psalmist says, I trust thy word. And the word trust there means to have confidence in or to feel safe in. Christ is a witness. Christ is also seen here in this verse 4 of Isaiah 55 as a leader. A leader. I have given him a witness to the people, a leader. What is a leader? A leader is one who goes before, who shows the way. You see, you and I, as God's people, we need one who will lead us through life and through this year of 2015. We read in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, particularly Joshua chapter 3, of the children of Israel standing at the edge of the river Jordan. And they were about to enter into the land of promise. The wilderness was behind them. All the things of the land of promise lay to their hand. They were going to a land, to a place, to new experiences that they'd never been in before. And no doubt they were filled with expectation, with excitement, with anticipation. Maybe some of them stood at the River Jordan entering into this new land, this new experience without Moses, who had been their leader for 40 years and who had directed them. And maybe they were about to enter into that land with a certain amount of trepidation. And sometimes that's how you and I feel at the beginning of a new year. There's some in this meeting, and as far as you're concerned, 2015 will be a year when you make a new start. Maybe you have your plans laid out for this year. Maybe you have some job, a new job that you're looking forward to. Maybe somebody's getting married in this year. It's a new start for you, 2015. Others enter into this year, and you're hoping that this year will bring a change for the better for you. 2014 was hard, and it was difficult for you in many, many ways. And from the human point of view, you could say that you were glad to see the back of 2014. It's your prayer, it's your hope that the new year will bring an improvement in your circumstances and in your situation. Some of us who have entered into this year, and it'll be a year of trouble for us. See, you need a guide. You need one to lead you through 2015. You need one to go before you in this year. Thank God Christ, he's given not only as a witness, but he's given as a leader. The hymn writer said, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow. But God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. How does Christ lead his people? Well, he leads us firstly as a general. Because you and I have enemies to face and overcome, maybe in this week, certainly in this year into which we've entered into. There's the enemy of unbelief, the enemy of discouragement, the enemy of sin, enemies without and enemies within. On many occasions will face the fiery darts of the devil. The book of Ephesians speaks about the fiery dart. And the days gone by when the used arrows, they used to on occasions dip the arrows into oil, set them alight. That was a fiery dart. That's what the apostle says, that the devil fires at God's people, fiery darts, to pull you down, to harm you, to discourage you, to mar your testimony. Thank God there's one who goes before us who's a general, who knows how to outflank the enemy, and he knows how to overcome the enemy. He goes before us to protect us in the battles and in the conflicts of life. The Lord's strategy to overcome in the battles of life, well, it's clear. It's the place of prayer. It's the Word of God. It's the Lord's house. It's the fellowship of the saints of God. No man is an island. No woman can exist as a child of God on their own. It concerns me whenever God's people begin to cut themselves off from the fellowship of other believers. You cannot live in your own. You need prayer. You need to be in the place of prayer in this year. You need to be more and more in God's word in this year, and so do I. You need fellowship with God's people in this year. You need, as a child of God, to meet with others around the table in this year. These are the Lord's strategies to overcome the devil in 2015. Our leader is also not only a general, he's a shepherd. Doesn't the good shepherd go before his sheep, leading us into pastures and beside the still waters? The thought of the shepherd and the sheep is that of tranquility, of peace, of harmony, of calmness. The sheep trust the shepherd. The shepherd cares for the sheep. And there'll be times in this year when you'll need the Lord to draw very close to you, when you've no one else, when you need him to take you and carry you. How many a time a child of God has said, I don't know how I'd ever get through if I didn't have the Lord. Do you know what that is? Those are the times in life whenever God carries his people. Like the shepherd carries the weaklings in the flock, the old, the lambs of the flock. When their sickness comes among the flock, what does the shepherd do? He carries the weak. He carries the sick. He carries the troubled. He carries the distressed. He's a leader to the people, as a general, as a guide. And thank God we can depend upon him, because nothing will take him by surprise in this year. Things will arise in our lives that will completely shock us. We'll, as it were, we'll walk around the corner and we'll be confronted with some great trouble, some great trials, some great distress. We'll be cast into the midst of the storm. But thank God, the one who is our leader says to his people in the midst of the storm, and he said it to Paul in Acts 27, verse 24, when he was in the midst of the literal storm, the Lord appeared to him and he said, fear not, Paul. And isn't it good whenever the Lord draws near in the midst of the conflicts and the billows and the storms of life with us? Fear not. Fear not. Our leader, he's a general, he's a shepherd, he's a guide, he's a king. You see, you don't have to worry about the future, because the future is in the king's hand. And as you stand and you look out at the unknown paths and the uncharted waters of this year that lies before us, well, we would all begin to tremble and shake at the knees because we don't know what tomorrow brings. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Oh, but why should we be concerned about tomorrow whenever tomorrow is held in the King's hands? And he can give you grace for tomorrow. And he can give you help for next week and next year and next month. Because he's a leader to the people. Israel never lost a battle whenever David led them out into the conflict. Not once. And so thank God. Christ, he is our leader king. We're to believe in him as a witness. He's a witness to the people. We're to follow him as a leader. Finally, we're to obey him as a commander. I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. The commander, of course, issues orders. Those who follow him obey. You know, your obedience to the Lord, that's the true test of your discipleship. A man can say great things about loving the Lord, but my love for the Lord is proven not by what I say, but in how much I obey him, in how I conform myself to his holy word, and to a likeness to Christ Jesus himself. The Lord is looking for spiritual people this year. He's looking for spiritual people in Sandown. He's looking for men and women who will conform their lives to the image of Christ. He's a commander in his wisdom. Because if you yield yourself to the Lord's commands, if you follow his precepts, the Lord will be with you. As for God, his way is perfect. You know, doing things the Lord's way is foreign to us. Human nature says, if you're upright and God glorifying, you'll not prosper. If you don't live like the world and behave like the world will never respect you. You know why Christians live like the world? Because they have no real faith. They don't believe the Lord. They don't believe God's word. The Lord says to you and me that the way to enjoy blessing this year is to conform our lives more and more to the word of God and to be more and more like Christ. And this commander finally has courage. Because the Lord will not ask you to go into any situation in this year of 2015 that he'll not go with you. Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The word waters is in the plural because of the many and varied situations that we'll face in this year. But you know, the Lord will accompany you every step of the way. He was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their home. He was with those sisters, Mary and Martha, whenever death came into their home and snatched away their brother. He was with Jairus when his daughter was ill. The Lord was with the woman in her sickness with the issue of blood. And thank God I can say to you today that you'll not find yourself in any situation in this year into which we have entered and turn round to discover that the Lord has left you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He's given to his people for your help, for your assistance, for your benefit, for your blessing. He's given to you and me for our good. He's given not only to save us and see us through death and be with us in eternity. He's given to be with us in life, to see us through life. He's given to be with us every day, every situation, in every circumstance. The verse begins with the word, behold. Behold, I have given home. Take note of it. That's what it means. Bear this in mind. Whenever the trials come and the situations arise that you can't understand, that God's ways are not our ways, and there's so many things that could be drawn from this chapter. In all the confusion, the disappointments of life, in the troubles of life and the heartaches of life, always remember this little word. Behold, I have given him. May Christ be more and more dear to us in this year than he's ever been before. May he draw near to your heart in blessing and in grace to your soul for Jesus' sake. We'll bow in prayer, please. Our eternal God and Father, pray that thou wilt take what has been of thyself, that thou wilt bless thy word to our hearts. We don't know the situation that people are in or the circumstances that we'll face in the days that lie before us. But we thank thee for one who is unchanging. In the midst of all the changing situations and circumstances of life, thank God there is one who is unchanging. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he's our Savior. He's our witness, our leader, our commander. We thank thee for what he means to his people. Unto you which believe, he is precious. O God, bless thy word then. Encourage our hearts day by day in the Savior's precious name. Bless those who must leave us. Remember us now as we would linger around the table. Do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.